So now my really big challenge is that I had all these questions. So I'm going to do my best because this, I want everybody to be able to benefit from the answers. So I'm going to answer these in a general way. If there was an article or a resource, actually, those of you who know that you submitted your questions, I actually have the article and I've highlighted some points on it, so you can take that. If there's a resource, I'm just going to kind of give the basics, and then everybody else is welcome to go check it out. Most of these are free articles on the website. So, all right, the first one, homework help. Crying, pouting, complaining, negativity, and my kids act up too. We have a set time before bed and story time, and a quiet, private, organized workspace for each child where I'm readily available to help if needed. Motivational sticker charts and rewards don't work anymore. Why not? Because those are external rewards. External motivation will only work for a short time. Long-term research shows it always becomes counterproductive. So no surprise on that one. Timers just make them angry. I'm not sure what else to do. Well, I have to tell you, when I first got my first two questions, I was all ready to like cover all kinds of information, and then I started getting 5, 10. I was like, oh my gosh, I can't give as much information. So let me give you some ideas. First of all, homework is what type of problem? It's a child problem. It involves school. Ultimately, whose responsibility? The child's. Here's the thing. There's more than one reason why kids don't do their homework. That's the core of the onion. You got to figure out what the core of the onion is. So you want to identify the real issue and do it in a way that teaches them how to solve their own problem. So here are the reasons why kids don't do their homework. They might have difficulty focusing. So you can plan their homework time based on your child's needs. We already talked about music or no music, where they have it. Okay, so it could be lack of focus. They have a time management problem. They don't know how to schedule their time. So instead of you saying, here's when you're going to do it, and you being responsible, you ask the question, when can I expect to see you sitting at the table doing your homework? And then you hold them accountable. Don't understand the homework. Instead of giving them the answer, you ask them questions. They forget their lunch, their homework, or their books. So instead of reminding them and rescuing them, if you continue to deliver it, why would they ever remember it on their own? They've got someone to deliver it. They don't have to. So rather than us reminding or rescuing, instead we teach them the skills and then have them come up with how are you going to remember to bring your books in from school? How are you going to remember what goes in your backpack? How are you going to remember where? How are you going to remember when? And then you're teaching them the skills and holding them accountable. They don't see the value of homework. They just think it's stupid. That's a tough one, okay? So to help them see the value of homework, do not lecture. They don't want to hear what you think about homework. They've already heard it. They already know what you think. This is the toughest one because they just don't see the value of it. So you ask, what is important to them? What is important? And you listen. All child problems, you got to figure out what the core of the onion is. So figure out what is important to them. Ask them questions about, well, how could doing homework help you? Yeah, okay, so you're really bored. Bottom line is, you got to at least do what the teacher says, because that's your job. I go to a job, I have to do what my boss tells me to do, even if I don't want to do it. School's your job, you got to do what the boss tells you to do. After that, though, if you want to find a more interesting way to do it, or you want to do something else, then you can brainstorm what ideas you can do after that. But bottom line, they got to meet their responsibility, then they can have more choices. If they're bored, then that's kind of similar. After their homework is done, then they can choose to do extracurricular activities. So here's the thing where parents tool shop at Universal Blueprint is really different. Because a lot of people will say, if your child's throwing a tantrum, do this. There's like one answer. Oh, well, if your child isn't doing homework, do this. Well, if your child is not getting their homework done because they're forgetting and you take a different approach that addresses a completely different issue, is that going to be the most effective response? You're not going to get the same results. You've got to figure out what's the core of the issue and then address that core. Make sense?
I have a question.
Yes.
Let's say the child forgets his homework and you address it and ask him, you know, why did you forget your homework? Was there a reason you forgot it? So on and so forth. Now, is there a discipline that takes place there, or you just say, okay, fine, you figure it out and let me know tomorrow what you decided?
There's the middle ground. Because if we do nothing and we only hold them accountable, but we don't make any effort to help them develop the skills, then we could say, oh, fine, well, then you'll just experience the consequence of not having your homework done. And then if they never learn a skill to prevent that, they're just going to end up either figuring it out on their own, or eventually they'll just end up flunking because they keep forgetting. So there's that middle ground. We're not doing it for them. We're teaching them how to do it for themselves. So I don't remind you. I help you figure out how you're going to remind yourself. But then I hold you accountable.
Okay, so
but the way that I hold them accountable is if I've done that groundwork, then if they choose not to use that reminder, then they may experience the consequence of not having their homework. There's a whole article on homework. There's actually a whole teleseminar. I spent an hour on homework. Okay. The one real quick thing that I'll say is when it comes to delivering stuff, three times. And this is Jody. This is not Parents Tool Shop. This is Jody thing. But my thing is I do a three strikes out. First time I'll deliver it, not say necessarily anything. When they come home, we talk about how to remember. Second time, I'll deliver it. Remind them, I only deliver three times a school year. That's it. So when you get home, we need to talk about how you can remember this for yourself. Third time, I'll deliver it and remind them this is it. After this, it doesn't get delivered. You'll just experience the consequence. And again, remind, you know, see if they can come up with a reminder. And then after that, they experience the consequence. Now, for my kids, they never got past two. And that's, by the way, what 1, 2, 3 always happens. With every 1, 2, 3. Right? 1, 2. Yeah. And then there are reasons why kids don't do homework. They might act stupid for attention. They might want to prove they have power by refusing. They might try to get revenge because they didn't like a teacher. I actually flunked math in the fourth grade because I didn't like the teacher. She wouldn't teach me how to write. Interesting how children's logic works. My mom said, who suffered there? Who punished? Or they're so discouraged that they've given up. So if you just go online, there's actually a whole article on homework. Whoever asked that question, I've got the article printed out for you on that one. So let's go back to siblings, because there are actually two of them on siblings. Let's see. But that one was, she also asked, she just said, how do you get siblings to be kind, helpful, considerate? I have 3 kiddos, ages almost 4, 6, and 8. And then, how do you handle a sibling that is constantly violating the personal space, getting too close, teasing, pushing of the other? We try separation, punishment, timeout, time in, ignoring. But the more he keeps going back. We know he does it to get a payoff when meeting upset others, and he gets a physical payoff by the tactile input he craves. We have tried getting him to release his physical needs on something soft, couch, pillow, blanket, but redirection results in protest and tantrum. Let me remind everybody of onions. Here we go. All right. Remember onions. On the onion, kids are fighting, getting into bothering each other. What was the real issue there? Attention. Attention. Personal space. Did you get that? It was personal space. I've actually been there for that. When the kids are fighting over the remote, as soon as the one comes home from school, it's not about the remote. It's about, I have been away at school all day and you are getting in my space. And the one who's been home all day is, I've been home all day long and I want you to play. This is not about the remote. It's about personal space. You can come up, you can take away the remote, you can negotiate the remote, you can do whatever you want with the remote. It's not going to go away. But when you help them understand, some people need recharge, some people need interaction. Well, how much time are you willing to give him alone? When are you willing to play? Then that can be a big part of that. In terms of this one, if you have a child who needs a lot of, that's external recharge, they need a lot of contact. The other one may be more internal recharge. One of my team members out in California, 3 out of the 4 people in their family are internal. So which means they're introverts, they just need space. One extrovert in the family, bless her heart. And so she had to teach her kids about how to respect space. So that's a piece of it. And then there's a whole bunch of more. The sibling article online actually gives some of this information. There are 5 things that you want to do to prevent sibling issues. Acknowledge their negative feelings. You can allow feelings without allowing action. Avoid comparing people. Avoid comparing kids because it just creates more resentment. Avoid preferential treatment, but also avoid treating kids equally. Don't get sucked into the fair and equal game. All that does is encourages everybody to keep score. And you know what? It's never even. So don't focus on treat children individually. If you need to buy something, you buy it based on the time. You don't count beans, you don't count M&Ms. Okay, don't get caught up in the fair and equal game. Avoid labels and free children from words. Watch your words and your thoughts. Oh, he's my troublemaker. This is my whatever. Even, oh, this is my responsible one. All of those restrict children from becoming whole. So, and be careful, you may say, oh, I would never say that. But you watch what you're thinking, and you watch what you say to other people when your kids aren't around. If you've got them labeled, they know it. And they're going to live up or down to that label. Often down. So be careful about that. Bottom line with siblings is you want to teach them how to resolve their conflicts, figure out what the core issue is, and then teach them how. The article online has that. There's actually an entire teleseminar where I actually break down the entire mediation process of exactly how to do it. That was all the farther I got with that one. The pacifier, a four-year-old who gave up the pacifier, regressions. In general, regressions when twins came along. As if one child coming along wasn't enough, he got twins. So, gee, do you think he's missing that attention, that one-on-one time? Is it reasonable for the parent to spend as much one-on-one time? No, it's not. However, those regressions often will happen when kids feel insecure. Now, if this parent were to quit acting like a baby and being critical of it, he's going to feel even more insecure, which is actually going to increase the how much he's not wanting to give up the pacifier. And if they just restrict it, well, then they can get into power struggles. So bottom line can be choices within limits. It's amazing sometimes when you disengage your energy from a power struggle, how quickly some things will just poof. This might be one of those times where it would say, bottom line is, fine, you've got your own pacifier, but you can only do it at home, maybe during certain hours or whatever. And then just like, don't even give it any attention at all. You know, as long as we're not doing it out. And it's amazing sometimes, and also at the same time, however, because I really do think that transition from having more kids is probably part of this, of really making that conscious effort to spend some one-on-one time, or even if not one-on-one, because I think that's unrealistic sometimes, to involve the child in whatever you're doing with the twins or with the children, so that they still feel that they're important. It doesn't have to be attention. It's, I know that I'm important and that my needs are being met. 20-month-old with tantrums. Tantrums actually is one of the ones that there's four different types of tantrums. It depends on how you answer the questions. Frustration tantrums are child problems. Attention tantrums are, I'm doing it just to get your attention. Ignoring doesn't work. You have to stop. Use don't say don't. Tell them what to do. Then ignoring will work. Three is power. You learn choices within limits. And the last one is an overstimulation tantrum, where you have been shopping all freaking day long, and they're hungry and they're tired and they fall apart and they have a meltdown. Feed the kid, get him sleep. And as he gets older, you teach him about how food and sleep is the car, he's the car, that's the energy. And then you hold him accountable for when you're hungry, what can you do? How do you know when you're hungry? How do you tell me when you're hungry? Okay, so then over time, then instead of you saying, do you need a nap? Because all kids will say what?
No.
Correct. Instead, you teach them about the car and the energy, and then you say, is your body telling you that it needs some sleep? It needs, it's running out of energy? And if they try to argue with you, I didn't say it was. I'm just asking if that's what your body's telling you. Do you see how I'm teaching kids to be self-reliant, how to understand how they work? If you ask the kid, why did you do that? They're going to go, I don't know. And you know what? They're telling the truth. They don't. You've got to learn why they're doing it. Those are the three questions. Okay? Last one. This was like, let's ask 10 questions. Okay. How do you come up with good consequences? You got that. Rewards, don't use them. What kind of motivation do you think are successful? Internal. What's a good way to deal with the concept of fairness? We just talked about that. When a child becomes physically aggressive, what's the best plan of action? And how do you discipline that type of behavior? You identify what type of misbehavior it is and you use the passer. Make sure you keep going up. Start with prevention, but then acknowledge feelings, set limits, redirect, and then discipline. Don't keep going at the same step. Okay, move up. Let's see. Oh, how do you get kids to really talk to you? Talk about their school experiences, bus atmosphere. How do you create a relationship that they want to come talk to you? you be a good listener. Kids test you with the little stuff. If you're always telling them what to do or that they shouldn't feel that way, you think they're going to come to you with big stuff. No, they're not. So be a good listener. Don't fix things for them. Just listen. And if you have a kid that doesn't want to share, that was my son. This is a Jody thing, not Parents Tool Shop. I said, just tell me three things. And I won't even ask you every day. But now and then, like, I'm dying. Give me, you know, throw me a bone. Three things. And then he'd go, I rode on the bus, I ate lunch, and I had recess. Three things besides the bus, the recess, and the lunch. And tell me just three things. And so that got him talking a little bit. He never really has, like, been a big sharer. When your child's not willing to listen, or not listening and unwilling to understand, is it best to take a break or keep trying? Get your bottom line, offer choices, then disengage. Either you can choose this, or I will, is what I would say. Okay?
Whoa!
I talk fast. Okay. At this one, let me just give you a couple of options here, because I really would like to be able to support you enough in whatever way that I can. The books are over here. There's a free parenting challenge online that gives an overview of everything. It's completely free. You can go to parentstoolshop.org for that. You can register tonight for the tips class. If you do get the book tonight, it is $5 off, no shipping. And if you would like to do the tips class, I think you've gotten a sense of what it is, but I just want to offer you some other reasons to do it, because one of the really great things is being able to have a positive support group. I don't know how much positive support you get in your parenting, or if you have a lot of people arguing or disagreeing with you, but it's nice because we learn our own language. You get a lifetime membership to the graduate discussion group. There's all kinds of ongoing support that you can get for life, for ongoing lifetime support. Weekly support calls, all the resources, all of that. So you can do that. And we only have 30 spaces, so when they're gone, they're gone. I don't do a class this big, because it's my commitment to you to really be able to give you individualized attention and be able to do that. Okay, what am I going to do with my situation? So some other options, the 30-day challenge. If you go to parentstoolshop.org, that is the 30-day challenge. So you can take that. There's also tons of free articles. Every single question that was asked, and I did not filter any of them, every single one already had an article online. So go online. Those right now are at .com. We are in the process of transferring the .com over to the blog at .org. And then probably October, November, we're going to have the expert help site up. So those of you who did ask questions, feel free to come up and find your question, and I already printed out the article for you. Any final questions? Burning questions. Yes.
You mentioned there were four types of tantrums, and I missed the third one.
Okay.
I did write it down.
Okay, four types of tantrums. Frustration, overstimulation, attention, and power. Okay, so I will be around. If anybody does get a book, I'm happy to grab that for you. And just see Belinda if you want any resources tonight. And if not, please, at the very least, sign up for the 30-day challenge and take part in the free form. I'd love to be able to talk with you more. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Have a good evening.